Repeating the same agenda basically over the last 12 months or 2 years, and it seems sensible to combine this particular meeting, giving resources the power, as it were, to deal on a monthly, bi-monthly basis with those issues, and then we will. If everybody's happy, we'll meet once a year as a joint committee to go over the things that have been dealt with tonight. Very welcome, and I'll start with apologies.
Councillors Carter, Loughran, Rooksell, Hobbs and Leeson.
Thank you, and then we've no question time, no councillor session, no call-in items, no members' items. And we go straight to the Section 106 update, which is the sole item on the agenda tonight. And we're going to take the two stars here are going to lead us through it.
Good evening, everyone. So I'm just going to do a presentation on the purpose of Section 106 is, and then we're going to look at some of the infrastructure funding statement information that has been public since the end of last year, and then we're going to look at some of the projects. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to explain what the Section 106 agreement is, what it can be used for, to present the information in the 2024-2025 infrastructure funding statement, and then give a brief overview of the projects that are currently being delivered. So what is the Section 106 and what can it be used for? Section 106 is a legal agreement attached to a planning application. It is required to mitigate negative impacts of planning applications when it's 10 or more dwellings. So if it's under 10 or more 10 dwellings, we can't ask for a Section 106. Each Section 106 is different because it is very much based on that application. Although you will see common themes throughout them. A planning obligation requires the developer to either provide certain works or to make financial contributions. So what are the types of Section 106 as we secure? Obviously the main one is affordable housing, but we can also secure for biodiversity. We get money for canopy trade, special area conservation, public open space, which includes play areas or just a general open space that's formally designated, and also sport facilities, swimming pools, tennis courts, etc. These are our main areas, but other Section 106s can equally be secured. So, for example, we've secured sometimes money for allotments, very much based on evidence. So, what can Section 106 funding be used for? Each financial obligation has to be set in accordance with the wording of the obligation. So if X amount of money is for affordable housing, it has to be spent on affordable housing, and that carries through for every other type of use. If it's a play area, it's spent on play area. If it's sport, it's spent on sport facilities. When can they be used? Again, it depends on what we're asking for. But usually it's close proximity to the development or within Stafford Borough. For example, sport facilities, because people are willing to travel further to a swimming pool, we usually have the attachment area as Stafford Borough. When do they need to be provided? Payment must be received before development commences or on first occupancy of the development. Again, it depends what we're asking for. So for example, we might ask that the open space be delivered when 50% of the site has been developed and occupied. And when do they need to be used by? Money, we have to stipulate it's got to be spent within 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and again it depends on which thing we're asking for. So every year we have to do something called the infrastructure funding statement. So the infrastructure funding statement 2024-2025 was put on our website at the end of last year. And as you can see, 8 sections 106 agreements were entered into during the 2024-2025 financial period. And of that, we secured 26,703.67 of financial contributions. And that financial year, we secured 0 affordable houses. And that sometimes happens. Of that, 1.2 million has been received in financial contributions, and 199 affordable housing units have been completed. So I won't go through each one, but as you can see, we're reporting on various aspects of the infrastructure surrounding statement, and that is public, and we can send a link down to it if you've not seen that yet. So, the figures. At the end of the financial year 2024-2025, a total of 7 million has been retained, and of that, 3 million has been allocated to projects, and there's 3.9 million available for allocation. However, that's not actually quite true. The infrastructure funding statement is a backward-facing document, and if you look at it in isolation, everyone would go, wow, you're sitting on nearly £4 million worth of money and not doing anything. And that's not true. We are actively spending the money and allocating the money to projects. It's just sometimes we've not reached the stage where we can formally say we have got this project and this amount of money is attached to it. And because the infrastructure funding statement is nearly a year out of date already, we are obviously still working with putting projects through the system. So please bear that in mind when you look at that huge figure. So, as of March 2025, you can see that we allocated those amounts of money to those facilities. So affordable housing, you can see it's £158,344 to be it's allocated to a project. So there's a name project associated with that project. And we've got off-site open space to about 1.5 million. So those are all available for project allocation as of March 2025. So nearly a year old. However, the Section 106 implementation officers, so that's Sally McDonald and John Martin, are actively working on projects. Sally does projects that are over the value of 50,000, so those are your West Bridge, your Rowley Park, and then John Martin does sport projects and any smaller open space under 50,000. So how is the section money allocated in space? Projects can only be funded by Section 106 if the project meets the requirement of the Section 106 obligation. So that is a legally binding document that is negotiated between us and the developers and everybody's solicitors. And it will literally say this amount of money to be spent on this thing by this date. Projects can be funded by obligations from several agreements. So if you take Rowley Park, for example, that's not just being funded by one Section 106 obligation, it's being funded by multiple to make a bigger pot of money available. By doing that, it takes us a bit longer to get the project up and running because we're waiting to get a sizable amount of money. So that's where we pool them. Equally, we can use Section 106 money in conjunction with other funding streams. For example, Heritage Lottery Fund, Sports England. So we can use different parts to make a bigger project. Section 106 project allocation. So there's two routes project officers, Sally and John, take. They are identified by officers and are informally allocated for a project by discussing ideas with local members in terms of the money available. So once they are told, ooh, you've got X amount of money to come in, Sally and John will start speaking with ward members to say, there's this amount of money available, have you got any project ideas? Depending on how much money is available, it will go one of two routes. If it's under 50,000, it will go down the delegated authority route. And we've had that since March 2022. And that means the project can be delivered internally or by using external organisations. For example, parish councils will actually deliver the project, and be, but they are supported by John or Sally. If it's over 50,000, there has to be a cabinet report and it will go through the normal process, which does take a little bit longer. As I said, we've got two officers working on open space and leisure projects. John, under 50,000 for open space and sport facilities. Sally, for projects over 50,000. We also have one officer who works on biodiversity projects, so that's Bill Waller, and he delivers anything that is biodiversity related. And then we have the affordable housing team, which work on affordable housing schemes. So project delivery under 50,000, so this is an internal process, and it sort of shows you the money's received, we informally allocate it, we then officially allocate it, where we get a pro forma signed by the head of service, either Dean or Joss, or sometimes both, and the local ward member. The budget is then officially allocated to that project, and consultation occurs, procurement of the works occur, and then there's the delivery of the project, and that is usually done by the parish council. Not always, but usually. If it's a project delivery under 50k externally, it's the same kind of process, but again, it's the parish council, and we'll just be there holding their hands and making sure they do everything. So section 106, project template. This has been around since March 2022, and it's basically a form which the ward member, the parish council, can fill in, which says what's the project, what's going to be achieved by the project, the cost, the public engagement that has occurred, and if it's suitable for the section 106 money. So for example, if it was an open space play area section 106 and a project came forward and was like, well, we want it to be a car park, you'd be like, no, because it's not appropriate use of that section 106 money. As I've just said, the document is completed by the officer or external organisation and is signed off by head of service and the cabinet portfolio holder and finance. When a project's over 50,000, a little bit different, in the sense that we have to go through a cabinet report before we begin the consultation. Depending on how much it is, we might also have to go through procurement with Staffordshire County Council, and we have to do different types of contracts. So we have to do the design and build contracts, and there's ongoing work after. Excuse me. So, funded section 106 projects. I won't go through each of these, but these are the projects that were funded during the 2024-2025 financial period. As you can see, there's a range of amounts being spent. Some will have gone through cabinet, some will have gone through project initiation.
Do you want Alex to speak it through?
Hang on. Sorry.
No worries.
Too much talking. So as you can see, you know, you've got the kind of chase money, you've got Jubilee Fields, Stone Hockey Club, rugby. So you've got a mix here of both sport and open space.
So, as Jenny said, the allocated section 106 projects as of the 31st of March 2025. So it's still backward looking at the moment, saying what's been what was allocated up to over just over a year ago. So you can see that it's a whole range of different projects, both within the within Saffiestone and the rural areas. And the total amounts that have been that allocated to each of those projects. The project summary gives an overview of how much was allocated, but also when the position of those projects. So, for example, the first one, Beatrice and Ecclesfield project, was finished in May 2025 and opened in June 2025. So. This is a whole list of projects where you can see that active work has been done and delivered or close to being being completed. So that's a positive. Don? Don?
Yeah, sorry, I'm back now. And again, this is just a similar, it's just the continuation of projects as of March 2025. So if a project was signed off or delivered after March 2025, it won't have been picked up in the 2024-2025 infrastructure funding statement. So, for example, I'll get onto it. You'll see we've got later slides where there's other projects that have been active. Here we go. Additional projects post March 2025. So, obviously, it's not a case of the infrastructure funding statement reported on, we don't do anything. We continue to spend money, allocate money. So, as you can see at the top, Wildwood Park, £35,000 has been allocated for the resurfacing of the tennis courts, and that new surface is completed, and the lines are to be painted in the coming weeks. So that's all occurred since March 2025. Rowley Park, although that was allocated in the 2024-2025 infrastructure funding statement, in October last year, a further cabinet report went and said, oh, actually, can we now allocate some more money, quite a sizable chunk, to the project? That is not picked up in the infrastructure funding statement of 2024-2025 because it happens in the next financial year, which we will report on at the end of this year. Hicks and Cricket Ground, a new wicket has been put in, the money's now being spent. So, as you can see, we are working through numerous projects of varying sizes on different things, as the infrastructure funding statement is just out there looking like a big chunk of money. So, for example, the Hicks and Cricket Ground, this has been delivered recently and it was done under the £50,000 delegation scheme. So the ward member approached, he said, we've got this money, it's for this use, what do you want to do? And this is what came back. So I appreciate that was a whistle-stop tour. We will be circulating the presentation after the meeting so you can go through each one. The next slide is your role. What is it that members can do? So inquire about funding within your ward. So whilst we are constantly spending Section 106 money, money's always coming in. So it's a very fluid system. Just because we spent one lot doesn't mean we've got nothing left to spend, because there's always an application that has been signed, and sometimes developers are very quick to give us the money. So it's a continual cycle. So please do approach us about having what's available in your ward. We want you to work with your community and the parish council to sort of say, here are the projects. Have a list almost ready so that if you have no money available to spend in the ward at the moment, as soon as you do have money available, you've got a list ready to go. And equally approach our Section 106 implementation officers early to start the process and get their advice and their sort of helping hand on this. So that's the next thing. I would just stress that April is a busy month, so please don't all rush it in one go, because we have to do our annual monitoring. But if you do want to know about what's available in your ward, please just get in touch. And then finally, the questions.
Can I just pass over to Mark before we take questions? Because there's a co-chairman here, and I don't know if you want to say anything about the resources interest in the work that's done with Section 106, Mark. And then take questions.
Just very quickly, I think it's a little bit Harry Potter, 106. For new councillors in particular, actually knowing what the situation with 106 agreements is and isn't. Just as an example, in my area, I've got notes of parish council who are quite forthright in wanting 106 money. And quite often, the borough councillors get left out of the equation. So the first thing I'd say is a plea to the officers to make sure that borough councillors are aware of what's happening, both locally and in the big picture. I think in terms of resources, the reason that we're here is it's a lot of money tied up. I know it's backward facing, but it's still £4 million. And I think Brendan's done a lot of work on this in the past. We need to know where this money's coming from and where it's going. As I say, it is very much a Harry Potter process for me anyway. I don't know what other members think.
Yeah, thank you. So now I'll take questions. Right.
My question is that many moons ago we asked that ward members were asked about projects in their areas before the 106 agreement was ever drafted. Now what's happened to that?
So,
for example, you know, I would think that we knew more about what's required in our areas than what you lot do. And why haven't you asked us before you draft the 106 agreement? Because some of the things that are in the 106 agreement, we would have said, you must be joking. We want this, that and the other, not what you've put in. Now, many years ago, and I can't remember the gentleman's name who ran the department, he said yes, he'll take that away and that will happen. Nothing has happened on that.
Yeah. In terms of the Section 106, we don't list specific projects, so we wouldn't list.
No, it's not the project, it's you should be asking us what, you know, you've got a developer coming along, right?
Yeah.
There is a pot of money that they're going to give you. What councillor or borough councillors, what do you need in your area? Not for you to turn around and say you are going to have it for sport or you're going to have it for open space or whatever.
Okay, so it's probably easy to sort of forgive me for the length of answer, but it's useful. So when a planning application arrives, clearly we consult and you'll know what the application is for. If it's for over 10, then you will know when you get the application and having consulted on it that this will trigger a Section 106 agreement. So that's your first sort of flag, that when the planning application arrives, that's your opportunity to then at that point put in, you know, and it certainly says there is, you know, various sort of projects that different people have. So at that point you can engage with the planning application process and sort of share, you know, what information you have about what projects could be delivered. Clearly we've got an adopted plan, and within that we've got sort of a legal requirement to set out what infrastructure services and facilities need to be provided on the back of development. And that is absolutely key to then what goes into the Section 106. So the planning application will go through through the process. There'll be conversations on the back of the information that we've received and the evidence of what we need to deliver as part of what needs to go into the Section 106 agreement. Then once the planning application has got consent, but the Section 106 agreement hasn't been signed off with the developers, there will then be that legal exchange in order to sign off the Section 106 agreement and decide exactly how much money is required and what the particular projects are that will be linked to that Section 106 agreement. Now, we are contained in terms of there are three key tests that we have to meet in order to make sure that the money is being spent legally in a correct way. So it needs to be related to the developments, it needs to be acceptable, it needs to be identified in terms of the particular piece of infrastructure that's required to that development. Then that's signed off, and then we have to basically see what happens in terms of when the development comes forward. When the development comes forward, then there will be certain triggers in terms of when the money will be received. Money will come to the Borough Council for the projects that Jenny's mentioned, for transport and education to go to the county. And then when we are in a position to be able to talk with you about how to spend that money, and we will come back and explain, well, here are the projects in section 106. And they're not particularly specific. You know, Jenny was saying that there are some broad types of projects, such as open spaces, sports facilities. And then we'll come back to you again and say, okay, this is the amount of money. How can we work together to deliver that in assessment? It's more than 50,000 through a cabinet report. So there's several sort of opportunities to hear from you and for you to hear from us in terms of how the money is spent and how it's been delivered. Now, it's not just us here as officers tonight. We've got learned colleagues from the department over here, the German department, and we've got finance at the back. So if you've got any other questions, then we're not able to answer them, then we will draw in other colleagues who can assist you.
I think just to add to that, obviously through the planning application process, obviously the officers will respond to policies that are in the local plan, where we do need to secure contributions. We will consult with yourselves and with parish councils.
Never happens.
Look, I'm happy to take that away.
I think it would be helpful to take that away.
Yes,
because it really doesn't happen.
Sorry, can I just... It's not the planning officers that determine what goes into the Section 106 agreement. So that comes from the consultees. So I think when it comes to things like open space, you probably need to be having a dialogue with the open space team ahead of them making their comments as part of the planning application, so they're fully armed with that information that you talk about. That's the way in, because your local knowledge can't feed in as part of the planning process, but it can absolutely feed in if you're going to share that knowledge with the people who are interacting with the application, if that makes sense.
It does.
It's the process that's difficult with that official. It doesn't happen. Brendan, next.
As Roy said, the fact of the matter is that engagement with ward members has not happened previously.
No, it hasn't.
And if what you're saying is what you're going to do in the future, you have to accept the fact that has not happened in the past, and that sometimes the time lapse between planning permission being granted with the Section 106 already sewn into it and the actual availability of that funds can be 4-5 years, during which time the ward members have not been engaged with in times previous. I'm not saying you're not going to do it in the future, but in times previous those were wasted years where ward members were not engaged or invited to say, how do you want to spend this money?
So obviously the implementation officers only get involved once the Section 106 money is in. So in that period of the Section 106 is signed and the money being received, it can be periods of years. So obviously from March 2020 we had the two split processes. And, you know, John has been engaging with members that were saying, right, this money's come along, what do you want to do? Or equally, a member is like, tell me what money I've got, what can I do? And John will go through that process. If the issue is to do with before the planning application is signed off, before the Section 106 is written, then obviously John is responding to planning applications as the sport and leisure officer. Now, he has numerous applications on his desk. Now, if it's a case of, well, actually, we want this, this and this for our play area. That isn't something he would necessarily put in a response to a new planning application. It's a very systematic response he does, which is, you've got a development of 50 houses, here is our open space calculation based on that, you need to give us £100,000. And he will say it's either on-site or off-site, and that will depend on where that application is. So for example, if the new site is right by an existing open space, he might say, you know what, that's a development of 100, I can see there's a play area over there, I'm going to say it's off-site because it already exists. Play equipment is very expensive to procure, 100,000 actually doesn't go as far as you think it would. So it's a very, sort of very site specific one. Now, if it's the case that you want more communication at that stage, then we do need members to contact us and say, I can see this application. Because John has 30, 40, 50 applications. And it's that dialogue. We're more than welcome to have it, but we need to build that relationship. And it's how we do that. And it's back to what we're saying, you know, come to us, ask to us, and speak with John, mainly John, over the applications, if it's that stage.
May just come back?
Yeah, please. I think so.
Thank you for that, but we've got to see it working. It has to happen. Mm-hmm. And we did have this proposal that there would be a quarterly or half yearly report where each ward member would be advised about what funds might be available in that ward. And that was promised several years ago. That's never happened. And this, the 50,000 goes back to 2019.
Mm.
So we've had 6 or 7 years. And we still have are not much different to where we were then.
Chair, first question from the side here. Just wanted to understand the situation a little bit, because obviously I'm fairly new to Stafford. So the impression I'm getting is that through section 106, you're potentially saying that there's opportunities or projects that maybe, you know, you would have might considered as part of this package of section 106 improvements. Have I interpreted that correctly?
Yes, you've got it right. The point at someone decides that there's going to be money on a 106, then the ward members need to be contacted to find out what it is that they need in their ward, and at that point you then put back into the 106 agreement. Right, at the moment it's the other way round. We're being told what's in the agreement, and some of us are saying that's not what we want in the ward.
Okay.
So we need to, basically, it's can we have the conversation before someone signs off the 106.
Okay.
Which is what was promised many years ago.
I take your point. I mean, obviously I'm speaking from my experience from elsewhere, but typically there's not that level of involvement on section 106 because, as Alex has mentioned, it's a legal agreement. And what you've got to do is to tie the section 106 investment to the permission and mitigating the impact of that development. So if there are adverse effects, that's where the section 106 needs to come in and deal with those adverse effects. So if there are community projects, for example, and the developers are open to funding those, that can surely be put into section 106. But you've also got to get the developer on side in terms of accepting what that investment's going to deliver. But it's all about kind of pooling those ideas. And I think, you know, what you're saying about where the investment should be, what the issues are in the local area, that's all part of the evidence base. So we've got to capture that somewhere, because that will then give you the justification then to ask for the investment in that local area.
I think the just a question. So the infrastructure funding statement, and how does that relate to this, the session 106?
So the infrastructure funding statement is a document we have to produce legally at the end of each year, and it basically says, of the section 106, this is how many we have secured in the financial period, this is how much money it generated, this is how much is in the bank to spend, this is how much we've spent. So it is basically a summary of all the Section 106s we have received in a financial year.
Right, but it's called the infrastructure fund.
Yes, because we then, in the project, if you look at the report, we break it down in terms of we spend X amount on affordable housing, we spend X amount on open space. Sorry, I'm coming with the back of the presentation to find it. So we'll break it down each way. And we've done that report now at least 5 years, I think. So then you can see each year on our website, we can send that link around.
Slightly more mundane.
Can I just stick with that one then?
Yeah.
Before you change, do we want to make a recommendation that something should be done, as it were, to be following that? Otherwise, we're just going to lose this. I see the cabinet member sitting quietly, or one cabinet member sitting quietly at the back, and the other one somewhere here. Should we perhaps send it back to cabinet, or should it have? Where would it go, Dean?
Which specific?
Because it, the point being that the members feel that there should be a better form of communication and connection.
I think that's
the point.
That's something that we can take
from. And Brendan certainly produced a whole lot of paperwork originally, which you will have somewhere, and it was agreed, and it was a paper that was discussed and formally agreed. However many years ago it was.
It went
to economic development, did it?
Yeah.
I should know.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, I'll go back to you then.
Just actually looking at the numbers within the paperwork that we've got. Perhaps I could get a bit of clarification, please. 3.10 on page 5, second bullet point, financial contribution obtained and received. 163 affordable houses have been completed, whereas on page 10, second bullet point down, 199 affordable houses have been completed. Could you identify which one it is, please? And on page 13, section 106 balances, I see there's a project titled Future High Street Fund with an amount allocated of £1 million. Under the heading of 106 balance, I thought that was a government grant.
And if you just check on that, Future High Streets Fund is a government grant, but £1 million is in affordable housing committed sum from Section 106 agreement in Yarnfield. So it is Section 106 money, not Future High Streets. Future High Streets is just being used as the name of the project.
Right, thank you. So just the first two on the numbers, not quite.
Yeah, so it's a typo error. It is 199 affordable houses.
Mark.
Thank you.
We're going through a strange transition with the Borough Council and local government's organisation and everything else that's going forwards. I worry that the rural areas, because we are a rural council when we've finished, are going to sort of miss out in the future on 106 funding. If you take the example that's just been mentioned of the Stafford Town Centre, £1 million, that's, someone said to me, you should never have a straight figure of 1,000 or 100,000 or 200,000. There's got to be a bit more depth about it, and that's just been dropped in there, I feel personally. But the real question for me is, how are we going to make sure that the rural areas get their fair share? Because
they don't
just eat
where the houses
were. Yeah. But you see, what we're finding is that. What we're finding is that. money's going from some of the rural areas and the village areas like Dogsey. That's gone into Victoria Park now. Victoria Park is great. It's a wonderful thing for the borough, but the money's been sucked out of other areas, some of the town centre.
Can I just, on the affordable housing contribution for the town centre, it's not an exact £1 million, it's £1,000,000 and something, I think it's just been rounded up for the purposes of the reporting. That sum has been allocated to the town centre since Council February 2021 and Cabinet July 2021. And the reason that it was allocated to the town centre was because in the preceding 6 years that the money was on the books, it wasn't possible to spend it all. So it's actually part of a £2 million plus overall contribution. The housing team had managed to allocate around half of it, but it's really difficult to deliver affordable housing off-site. So in the event that either you allocate to Staffordshire Town Centre or you don't spend the money, the Cabinet at that time decided that it was appropriate. So it's not a case of the Town Centre sucking up the funds. It was a case that the funds were incapable of being allocated elsewhere, and the allocation to the Town Centre was compliant with the Section 106 agreement.
Yeah, I apologies for sort of saying this, but to have a large figure like £1 million unallocated for so long, and I think this is what you said, we're backwards facing it for a number of years. It does seem that there must be somewhere within Staffordshire and Stone that needs some affordable housing. We keep getting told that we need more housing, and we're sitting on £1 million.
But we're not sitting on £1 million because it's allocated to a project that is being delivered. So Section 106 is signed specific, so affordable housing isn't one we can necessarily cast a wider net with. It's not like a sport facility in a swimming pool where we know people are willing to travel about 20 minutes from their house to a swimming pool. So that's the problem with the IFF being backwards facing. You're right, you're saying, oh, there's £1 million and it's not allocated. It is, and it's in a project that's coming forward, and it will be reflected in the next IFF.
Can you tell us what this project is then?
Yeah, it's in the published papers for the Cabinet on the 9th of April. It's the residential conversion of the upper floors along Crabbery Street. So when the council purchased the Guildhall Shopping Centre, we also purchased a number of retail units as part of that. The upper floors are vacant, so the money will go to converting that scheme into affordable housing.
But have you told the members?
Yes.
Future, that is going to happen.
Who told the members was the question?
It was agreed as part of the Future High Streets Fund programme at Cabinet. Permission to spend was given in July 2021.
Excuse me for forgetting that.
I remember that.
Why your chair and not me?
Yeah. Any more questions? Brendan, again.
Just go to throw a curveball, if I may. Us in the rural areas, it's nice having that Section 106 money available to improve an existing play area or whatever. But in Hickson, we've run out of land. The playing fields has got so much stuff on it now, we can't put anything more on it. So the offer of off-site open space money, it's probably a waste of time. So my question is, can you buy land with Section 106 money?
We've not legally asked that, so I can't say no.
I think the answer is yes. I remember from a lecture I went to.
We'd have to get legal opinion on that, and it would have to be how we word it. But in an example such as you have given, where, yes, okay, there is an existing open space, but we can see it's already chock block, it's had money spent on it recently, it doesn't need upgrade. At that point, we would then start looking for on-site provisions where applicable, to try and make sure we're not losing the money. Because at the end of the day, if you look at Play England, they have very specific requirements that, you know, doorstep facilities should only be within this many metres, which, you know, we don't fully apply because you end up with very small play areas that don't have a lot of play value. And obviously there's a maintenance cost, etc. But in terms of can it be used to buy land, we have to get legal opinion on that.
Jenny, sorry, if I could just, I think if you're going to buy land, you have to go back to the original 106 agreement where the definition for the spend will be the delivery of open space. So arguably, would buying the land deliver the open space? If it doesn't, then I don't think you could do that. If it was that you could buy the land and then do something with it, there might be a case for it, which is why Jenny's absolutely right. It would need legal advice on the specifics because they won't all be the same.
Can we ask if that as an action then, please? Okay, you, Jackie.
Thank you. Yeah, music to my ears to hear that you're going to be discuss any 106 money with the councillors. Because in 27 years, I've never been asked anything about spending 106 money.
No,
and the 106 money that we have in my area, I've had to fight for tooth and nail. It's been an absolute uphill battle. So it's music to my ears. But what concerns me more than anything is we've got a lot of little areas. I mean, we talk about 106 money and new projects, and you know, but what about the small little areas that we've all got lying in our wards, you know, that need some money spending on them just to bring them up to date and make them look? They're making some of the places look tatty and it looks, you know. So my question really is, where does the money come from to be able to do this, to make sure that we do look after these? I know you talked about destination parks and making them absolutely wonderful, that's great. But we've got some small areas where they need a little bit of, shall we say, tarting up, for want of a better word. So where does the money come from for that?
So it's the same. If you've got a play area or an open space, it's not based on the size. We will still equally spend money on those play areas. But it's the case that there's money available. So, you know, off the top of my head, Yelverton had money spent on it.
I had to fight for that, though.
Obviously, the problem we have is a ward may have multiple play areas, and every ward member can ask, well, I want this one, it can be that one. What we would look at is, well, what's the spend date of that section 106, which is the ones that need the most updating. There's obviously also a bit of an issue in terms of, is the work that's needing to be done just general maintenance? If it's just we need a gate put in or we need a path, that can be argued that's just the general maintenance of open space, of which there's a separate budget. But if it's the proper upgrading and enhancement of the facility, that would be section 106, and that's the process of let's talk, let's look, let's view, and our officers have a conversation about there's £50,000 available and I've got this little play area and I want to do something.
Yeah, can I just come back and just say, you know, I've got two areas in the borough that I look after, and the people are so disgusted with the area, the state of them. They're wanting to paint them themselves, you know, because they're making the place look terrible. So
if it's a lick of paint, that is more of a maintenance, ongoing maintenance, street scene issue. So my recommendation at that point would be, you probably need to speak to our street scene department about that element.
Okay.
So can I just ask, are you saying that, for example, if we've got an open space, but there's no 106 allocated to our particular ward, I can come to you and say, I would like 10 grand in order to do, you know, for example, some benches and whatever, and I can get money from you?
No. Section 106 is based on a planning application, and there will be an area associated to that. So, for example, sport facilities have a wider net of where that money can be spent, because obviously a swimming pool is much harder to secure and more expensive to secure than a play area. So it has a much wider sort of inward money coming to sports, to pools, and it has a wider spend area. A play area has to be based on where that application is, and that can be difficult because there are some wards where there is no play area, and the site might only be giving us 20 dwellings, and the amount of money would be quite small. But we would then at that point try and get an on-site provision. So no, just because you have a ward and it doesn't have money, we can't just allocate Section 106. But there could be other funding streams available. Not Section 106 though.
Such as?
There's community grants, because that's why we try and work with parish councils. Parish councils and local groups are able to attract money that we as a council can't do.
I just turn the dial a little bit to page 4, item 3.4, refers to community infrastructure levy, which memory serves me correct, David Cameron introduced about 14 years ago, and we never adopted one here in Stafford, but if memory serves me again correct, if an area has a neighbourhood plan, it gets 20% of the community infrastructure levy associated with that development in that area. If you don't have a neighbourhood plan, you get less percentage of the community infrastructure levy. And if you do adopt CIL going forward, that will those two things be part of it, i.e. neighbourhood plan, you get a greater chunk of it. No neighbourhood plan, you get a lesser chunk of it.
Okay, so you're right. SIL, as it's affectionately known, I think it was either 20 or 25% if you had a neighbourhood plan. And there was like a 5% sort of admin fee associated that we could sort of use as well as developers. So, I can't remember, so forgive me, it may have been 10% if you didn't have a neighbourhood plan and 25% if you did, something like that. But in any event, it's sort of academic here because we haven't adopted SIL. A lot has changed over the years since SIL was introduced, which I think was 2010 or 14 or something. It's been around for a while. And the government has changed the process through the secondary regulations on SIL. The government is doing, I think it's fair to say, a root and branch assessment of developer contributions and infrastructure levy and how it's going to work in the future. And we're still waiting to hear about what they want to do to try and make sure that more funds are secured to local communities in the best way of doing that. Because there is always a gap between, you know, what infrastructure communities are expecting to be delivered versus how much development moves forward and what is essential. So we will be looking at that again as we go through the local plan process, but we'll need to reflect and hopefully see some really up-to-date government guidance on the infrastructure levy, which is probably what it's now going to be. But no, you were right about the neighbourhood plan. There was a question.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I've got one question. With Section 106, this council is very fixated on sports provision and green space and so forth. And of course, in the big projects, you've got the essentials like highways and doctor surgeries and all the rest of it. But am I right in thinking that it's up to this local authority to decide what it prioritises rather than always choosing sport and recreation? And I come back to my pet, which is the matter of heritage, because we are told that we have no money to spend on heritage assets, and yet we devote our Section 106 funding to increasing amounts of sport and recreation and with open space. I'm not sure it's even open space, it's sport and recreation. So what's the law on it, basically?
So it's based on the local plan, so our adopted local plan, the policy within that, and the evidence base we have which supports that local plan. So if we wanted something like Heritage added, it would be ensuring we have the evidence base going forward to support that new element in the new policy as part of the new local plan. So we can add things, but again, it's based on evidence. So, you know, community facilities, you could cast a wide net and try and get contributions to village halls, for example. So I don't know if Alex,
yeah, I mean, so a couple of things. There's the essential infrastructure that we need to provide, and that being to make sure that there's overall health and wellbeing for our local communities. So that involves schools, transport, the health and open space. Obviously, there's an affordable housing lift as well. So just from those quick comments, that is a significant amount of money. Through Heritage, we get planning applications on various conservation areas and on listed works, etc. There will be some examples where there might be an application that relates to a heritage asset which would improve it, or you know, it's within a setting of a heritage asset, so therefore that could be used as another enabling development. But as you know, there is a finite.
Do you apply section 106 to that?
It depends on the nature of the
have
proposal.
We ever done it?
I don't think we've ever done it.
The point I'm making is that I think endless talks and lectures and what have you about this, and constantly we are told that section 106, it's a matter for the borough council, district council, to decide what they want to spend what section 106 on. Not even for county highways. We could actually say to county highways, sorry, we're not going to give you that amount of money to build your road. I mean, this is what I learn when I go to past lectures and all the rest of it. And yet we are totally fixated on providing space for sport and what have you. And I just wonder, and so asking the question, and I don't think there's an answer here, but it would be very interesting to know if there are, in the context of the local plan, if there are other ways of devoting that money.
So it comes back to what Sushi was saying earlier about the three tests in terms of what the development needs to do. So if we say, well, we're not going to take money for a piece of essential infrastructure, then that would make it very difficult to then give it consent, because clearly a piece of critical infrastructure is needed in order to enable the development to occur, and that's why it's linked into section 106. I'm not an expert in terms of different funding pots, either nationally or locally, but there's a sort of heritage lottery fund, you know, etc., that can bring money to the table, specifically in terms of section 106. Again, it would need to be, as James says, based on the evidence, looking at what is essential in terms of heritage and what needs to be required and why, and then if any development occurs in that area, once the essentials have been delivered to enable the development to actually occur, and then there's a conversation that we can have. Like we have said earlier, in terms of if as ward members you know about projects, we sort of cast out this sort of project template back in March 2022 to say, you know, please let us know about projects in your ward that you'd be interested in bringing forward. Again, you know, we're always open to listening and getting more information about what's going on in the local area and what communities want. But clearly, it needs to be within those boundaries of what the legal money can be used to spend on.
Can I ask in respect to the opinion on refurbishment, where in fact we would have had at one point some play area posts and swings or whatever the case may be, which over time in actual fact are being deteriorated by of course weather and what else.
Can anybody here? You might need to speak up, Peter. It's about refurbishment of existing.
I'm asking really is that. Can you, if you had a situation where you've got parish, which is got a piece of land which has or did have some play material on there for children, but it's now deteriorated. Would you be able to claim for that?
So is the play is it a formally designated play area?
Yeah.
Right. So if it's a formally designated play area and there is Section 106 money available to be spent in that area, we can have a discussion about, hey, you've got £10,000, you've got £20,000, what would you like to do? If it's the case of there's no money available and it is a case of the play area itself is needing a lick of paint, you can always approach street clean. I'm not saying they will have money available, but you can have that discussion.
Okay, can I just add to that? I mentioned earlier about Section 106 being used to mitigate the impact of development. So obviously if the development's coming forward, you're gonna have more people living in an area. So that's gonna increase the demand on these facilities. So that's an argument to ask for investment into these facilities. But again, it comes back to the evidence. And I think there was an earlier example of, say, like a community building, you know, which may need some refurbishment. Again, it comes back to the evidence. The fact that there's going to be new people in an area is going to increase demand for services, doctors, the rest of it, and community facilities. So if you make that argument, the link to the application, then you've got an ask there to perhaps put some investment into local facilities for the expanded population.
Anybody else? We've got one action out of the meeting so far, which is the connection between them, follow up the connection between members and officers. Are there any other points that people would like to? Oh, the cabinet member to speak. Yeah.
We talked about wards that may not be able to attract Section 106 money. Be more creative with that. If you've got a full ward, you might well have locations there where buildings are themselves not being fully utilised. That could be a location for affordable housing. Those buildings might be able to be recycled into leisure. There might be some heritage things there. And the same with some of the wards, got an awful lot of greenbelt, but not a lot of development going to be happening there. But you may well have locations where land acquisition can be used for off-site leisure for somewhere else. You might be able to do something with them. Be a little bit more creative, but you've got to be creative before the application's determined. It's got to be written into the Section 106 at the point where planning is approved. You can't come afterwards and say, I want this done retroactively.
But we need
that's the difficulty for your ward councillors, is that at the point where you don't want them to go ahead, you've also, at the same time, got to say, if it does go ahead, please include these things in it. It's got to be ahead of time. It's too late once the conditions have been written.
Thank you, Chair. Well, 2 points, actually. I mean, we've got wards like Pyefields, for example, in Riverwood. There's no room for any development, so we're never going to get any 106 money in those areas. That's nonsense to think we are. Well, the other point is, this unallocated money is so backward-looking. When the local government reorganisation comes about, and we've got unallocated money, will those developers then be able to reclaim it? Because it's unallocated, and the authority no longer exists.
So, in terms of reclaiming, I will probably look to Chris, who can help on that one. But just please remember, like I said at the beginning, yes, in the infrastructure funding statement, oh, there's 3.9 not doing anything. But as we've demonstrated, the 3.9 actually is allocated majoritatively. It's not on that IFS. So if developers came to us, we would actually be able to say, no, actually, your application 2020-12345, which gave us £80,000, we can actually say that £80,000 is currently going towards project, you know, X. So there's no risk at that point, because as long as we can demonstrate it is actually going to be spent, it's fine. But I will look at that.
The point I'm making is, in 2 years' time, you're going to have a considerable amount of more money that won't be allocated. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I'll let Chris answer that.
Just think of the local government, the organisation element. It'll just novate a new authority. These agreements won't end, because effectively, while becoming a new council in theory, that council will have all the same legal obligations. So we've had the same with our waste contracts, our leisure contracts, everything just novates across to the new entity. So there'll be no change there. The 106s will continue to exist as they currently do, with the current terms and conditions and the same timelines and expiry dates. We'll continue to acquire more money to go along, but we'll also be deploying it along the way, as we have been. So it'll just be the same cycle. It might be easier with a bigger authority, as we'll have greater resources to deploy it, is the hope.
It's been quite enlightening for me tonight. Thank you very much. And it's just really what we're asking is the two committees of the officers. Now, I'd like you to explain exactly what we are, but Alex did say, and has said several times, I think it was 2002, was it, that we were asked as councillors, as a body of councillors, what we wanted going forwards. Now, that's 4 years old, that piece of work. Are we asking...
21.
Sorry?
21.
That's 5 years old, that piece of work. Are we asking Alex just to go back to councillors again 5 years later and say, what are you interested in? What do you want? Because I feel sometimes like I'm last to know as a borough councillor, and I'm sure other people do as well. And then the idea that you've got a list, and when John, whoever's going through his list, someone can go through the borough councillor's list and go, oh, actually, the borough councillors want that, or we'll miss them out, because that's what it feels like to me.
So, in terms of Section 106, it is done on a case of spend. So, when is the spend date for that Section 106 to ensure that we are not...
No. What I'm saying is, can we have a wish list, that has been mentioned before, a refreshed wish list, so that we know, as local members, what we want and put on there. So when an application comes forwards, someone somewhere should have an idea of what the local members want.
Yes, in March 2022, we produced this Section 106 project template with Councillor McEwen involved.
Yeah.
He wrote it.
He certainly helped very significantly in preparing it. And so that has been always available. Every time we have a scrutiny committee with economic development planning, this comes up, we say, remember the form. Please come and talk to us. Fill in the form. Send us the form. Go and talk to your local communities. Send us the form
back.
So we're still waiting.
Who's that sent to then?
So you can email us. We will post out the form. It's on the papers in any event that have come down tonight. The form is part of the papers. But send it back to myself or Jenny. You know, send it to the officers once you talk to your local communities about those particular projects. So we know what you as councillors are wanting to deliver in your local area. We can then see what Section 106 developments are coming through, what we're allowed, what we're permitted within the Section 106 agreement to spend and not, and then we can have that conversation about. So it was useful to hear from.
Well, thank you for that.
Can
it go to members per se instead of just one committee?
I'll just say, we will email template round to all members, we'll put it into the members area, and obviously the last slide said members talk to us.
Brilliant.
So we will do that. If you've got ideas around projects in your area and it's under 50,000, come and talk to the team. Let's see if we can work some projects up. We'll look into the issue that you highlighted around the planning process and how we can reflect that. But you know, I haven't seen the paper from 5 years ago, I wasn't here 5 years ago. Social wasn't here either. Happy to review any documents that you produced previously through scrutiny.
You got it.
But
yeah,
in terms of the
you're
members,
to receive it from
I've seen the template, but I'm talking about any
the
papers
station,
that
yeah.
were produced by Scrutiny. But the main thing is that we are here, please engage with us. And obviously there are, yeah,
yes.
people are saying that nothing has happened, but things have happened. We are allocating projects and spending money.
I think that's the very good news, because there was a huge, I mean, we were at a situation, if people remember who were there, of actually losing the money because it hadn't been spent in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got away from that. We've done a lot of work, I know, and we are in a stable situation now where the money is coming through and it is actually being allocated. So that it's a very good news story, in all. Our problem is that we want the members to be able to understand in advance what's being proposed.
Yeah, just a question. Have we got enough officers and that and time and that to be able to cope with the workload that's going to hit you in the next few weeks when people feel missing?
Well, we're ready to have conversations with you and
right.
work through whatever we can. I think
the point I'd like to press again and again is that we need to be informed before the legal 106 agreement is signed off, not afterwards.
I think the point being made is that you need to be involved in that during the planning process, so we need to actually make our point during planning.
Well,
which is extremely difficult for members, because we have a workload as well. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify something, because I think we're getting around the houses. I think we are, Councillor. The 106 money is available when a planning application is agreed, houses are built, money is available. Whether it's from the initial cut of the ground, or whether it's after 50 houses are done, or whatever. All councillors in the borough will know what planning applications are going into their ward. All of us. Some of us are working on some at the moment and putting our thoughts towards it. That, from my understanding, is the catalyst. We will always have projects and ideas of what we want to do in our wards. The catalyst is when that application goes in, which we will know about as caring councillors. At that point, we then put our applications through. This is the project that we're thinking about. This is what I would like to be considered during that application. Is that correct?
Absolutely right.
But to add to that, even if you oppose an application, you need to also be thinking, if the committee or the officers end up approving it, what would be what I need on section 106? What are the conditions that would then be needed in terms of infrastructure if you agree to it? So you've got to play both sides of that as ward councillors, and that's prior to the decision being determined, not after.
Can I give a final word to Brendan?
Thank you, Chair. I think we did have one other action point, was to question whether section 106 money could be used to purchase land,
yes.
which is going to go illegal, because, you know, like that, it's full. We've got outdoor gym, we've got Mugga, we've got outdoor table tennis, and everything. But we couldn't put a swing on there now, so we would need some land elsewhere. And I'm not always convinced that on-site open space provision is necessarily good. And if we say we have five planning applications with a total of 500 houses, whatever it might be, in my mind, it would be better to gather all that money together and say, well, how can we best use this money now, rather than saying a bit of on-site open space there, a bit of on-site open space there. And this is where, as Roy has said all night long, we need to be engaged in the process.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we did on the Holmcroft community area. I worked with Michelle, Sally, forget who was your female predecessor, but we set up a working group. The two councillors, myself and Jonathan Price, said basically we want a new play park, and then we went about going. We finished up selling off a smaller play park in the area, to Stafford and Royal Homes, and that gave us £300,000 on 106 money. There was then money from a block of flats on the corner of Oncroft Road. That was 10,000. Then there was another block that was built on the Creswell Farm area, and it was about five different lumps of 106, which finally gave us £440,000, which we were able to go forward with consultation to the public, what did they want, and we were able to do it that way. So that you work with the officers, they do look at that, of lumping together several projects to give you a more viable sum of money to work with.
Yes, thank you for that, Frank. I'll close the meeting now, and thank everybody for coming, but I've now got two items to take forward to Cabinet. One is to scrutinise again the relationship between members and officers in Section 106, and tenant use to purchase land. Have I left anything out? Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you. And thank you particularly to the lead officer on this.
Jenny, you sure?